Today is the 19th of February 2013, and you've joined us for a weeknight service at the Weatherby House Church. 413. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and saw the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
295.
When I was lost without a Savior, my life as sinful as could be, my Father sent his Son from glory, and Jesus paid the price for me. He paid the price, he bore my burdens, his life he gave upon the tree. So praise the Lord, he is my Savior. He paid the price for me. It took his blood to make the ransom, his life he gave on Calvary. And there his precious heart was broken. He paid the price for me. With cruel hands they killed my Savior. They nailed his body to the tree. The crown of thorns they placed upon him. He paid the price for me. Oh, how could I forget this Savior who gave himself to set me free? I wish that I might better know him and know he paid the price for me. He paid the price, he bore my burdens, his life he gave upon the tree. Oh, praise the Lord, he is my Savior. He paid the price for me.
263 has been selected by Rosette.
to know. I am so vile, so full of sin. I fear that I'm not born again. When my experience calls to mind, my understanding is so blind. All feeling sin seems to be gone, which makes me fear that I am wrong. I find myself out of the way. My thoughts are off and gone astray. Like one alone I seem to be. Oh, is there anyone like me? It's seldom I can ever see myself as I would wish to be. What I desire I can't attain. From what I hate I can't refrain. My nature is so prone to sin, which makes my duty so unclean. As when I count up all the cost, without free grace I know I'm lost. Earth holds no treasure but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Out on the hill of that wonderful country, happy, contented, and free, loved ones are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world and its sorrows, when in that home o'er the sea, millions are singing a wonderful story. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me.
451
will be the last song before we switch over to the next part of our service. 451.
Savior, more than life to me, I am clinging, clinging close to thee. Let thy precious blood apply. Keep me ever, ever near thy side. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to thee. Through this changing world below, lead me gently, gently as I go. Trusting thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way. Let me love thee more and more, till this fleeting, fleeting life is o'er. Till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter, brighter world above. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to thee.
Lord, we pray that you would be with us tonight in the service. We thank you for your continual grace and mercy, which is new every morning. Thank you for your love that you've extended to us, even though we're unworthy of it. We pray that you continue to go with us. Draw us closer to you, we pray. Forgive us of our many sins. according to your completed work on the cross. In Christ's name, amen. In the 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter of 2 Timothy, I want to look at some scriptures here. Beginning with verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Verse 7, "Consider what I say, and the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer." "Remember, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. For it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Now I want to go down to the 19th verse. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." "22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." Alright, well, I want to talk a little bit tonight about the this passage of Scripture. This exhortation begins with Paul telling Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. To be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he likens to this being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus as being a good soldier. And sometimes we need to go back to the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. And then he says in the 19th verse, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." Now I want to look at a passage in John, the 10th chapter, the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, and says in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now I want to go back to the 8th chapter of Romans. And he says, in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 35th verse, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Now let's go back to 1 John 2. 1 John, we're going to the Epistle of John now. 1 John 2 and verse 9, he says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust on the day of judgment to be punished. Well, we see here also in the, I'm sorry, I was in the wrong, I want to go to 1 John 2:9. 1 John chapter 2 and find where I want to be here. 1 John 2:9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now there's a lot of different things that we're bringing up here in these readings, but the most important thing is he starts with talking about the grace of Jesus Christ and being a good soldier, and the fact that the foundation of God stands assured that he knows who are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now if we go back to the 2 Peter 3:18, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Well, it's hard sometimes for us to understand the magnitude of growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it seems like we are stagnant and that we're going through our lives in somewhat of a spiritually mundane fashion. And sometimes we get discouraged. And we need to realize that God is the one that is in charge of continuing to give us the mercy and grace that we need to go on. But yet, Paul here is exhorting Timothy to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and Peter is also asking or exhorting to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we grow in grace? Well, we start by realizing where it comes from. We grow in grace by acknowledging where it comes from. We go back to the 8th chapter of Romans. He says in chapter 8, verse 28, Yeah, I'm sorry. Chapter 8, verse 27. And let's start with 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then it goes through the golden chain of salvation there. And then he says, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And then we see that in verse 37, he says, now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so the work is all Jesus Christ, his work. We've talked about the acronym too before. We talked about the fact that we were born and conceived in sin, and that we were totally depraved, and that God showed us unconditional election and granted unto us his atonement and called us and gave through irresistible grace, and that we will persevere in our faith until the end. And that's a miracle in itself, that work that he is describing here in the 29th verse, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You know, so there is TULIP. There it is, described for us. And of course, the preservation is described in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 38, I am persuaded that nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's preservation. And so, the exhortation to Timothy should be the same exhortation to us: grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, by giving him all the glory, he will give us all these things. Verse 21. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And all things, specifically we're talking about tonight, is spiritual things. The growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the foundation, stand sure. God stands sure. He knows who are his. God has known us from the foundation of the world. He's called us out. And what are we going to say when we come down to the end of our lives? What are we going to say? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, he again continues his solemn charge to Timothy. And he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his hand, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. advanced in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth. What's the truth? The truth is God's grace. He told him earlier to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is the doctrine he's talking about. And it says, they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But wash thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Well, what did Paul say when he came down at the end of his life? He said in verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Hence, there is laid up for me, okay, this is again his preservation. Hence there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Well, that's the admonition that we should follow. And he again ends this chapter with grace. Verse 22, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. It's amazing how the emphasis was on the grace of Jesus Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ. The unmerited favor. That's what it is. Unmerited favor. We did not merit the favor of God's love. Now look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says again in verse 2, unto Timothy my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So here he's talking, he is starting this First Epistle of Timothy with exhorting Timothy and saying grace, mercy, and peace, and this grace, mercy, and peace is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says the same thing here. He says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. They don't teach any other doctrine other than this grace. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So, this message, if I were to entitle it, is Return to Grace. Return to Grace. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But the focus of Paul's ministry was on grace. He told them in Galatians, I am... how did he say it? How soon you're removed from the gospel. It's a constant thing. We have to continually check ourselves that we are preaching the grace of God. I marvel, Galatians 1, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though, I'm reading in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Galatians, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that which we are preaching to you, let him be accursed or anathema. And he says, I certify you, brethren, in verse 11, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let us remember that God is the one that paid the price for all of our sins. And he says in Galatians 2:11 that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident that the just shall live by faith. Chapter 13, or verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for as written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so, tonight, we need to go back to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the grace of Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So we need to be reminded that it's God's grace that sustains us, not ourselves. And then look at how he ends the book of Galatians. I always like to look how he starts and look how he ends. Verse 18 of the final chapter of Galatians 6:18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you that you are the one that did all the work on the cross. And our faith is not in ourselves, but in you. And we ask that you would help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray in your name. Amen.
As he is, and shall his praise on high.
we'll all be one united and never feel a sigh. Oh, who will come and go with us and help us sing that song? The song of Moses and the Lamb, the song of God's dear Son.
Lizette wants to sing Graced is a Charming Sound, 184. 184.
Graced is a charming sound, harmonious to the ear, and with the echo shall resound, and all the saints shall hear. Grace first contrived the way to save rebellious men, and lawless sects that grace displayed, which drew the wondrous plan, grace first inscribed by name in God's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb, who all my sorrows took. Grace led my roving feet to tread the heavenly road, and new supplies each hour I meet, while pressing on to God. Grace taught my soul to pray, and made my eyes more flow. 'Twas grace that kept me to this day, and will not let me go. Grace all the world shall crown through everlasting days. It lays in heaven the topmost stone, and well deserves the praise.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would take this message on your unmerited favor and your amazing grace and use it for your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.